listening to Make Your Way, Season 4, Episode 2. Welcome to Make Your Way, where we explore what it means to work and create on your own terms. Along with every episode, we post show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript. You can find these materials at katielinder.work/podcasts. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well.
So I'm excited to talk with you today about doing business on our own terms, because this is one of the key things that we said Make Your Way was going to be about. So we should probably talk about it.
When we rebranded, you know.
Yeah, when we rebranded.
We gotta talk about those things.
Yeah, but this idea of like, you are like making your own way with your business. And I want to think about, you know, for each of us, I think this probably looks different. Surprise, surprise to our long-term listeners that we would think about this differently. But just to kick us off, like, what does it mean to you to do business on your own terms?
Yeah, this year has been a very interesting and challenging year for all kinds of reasons that has really made me think about what it means to do business on my own terms in a new way. So, you know, historically, I would have thought about that as really the practical things about what kinds of things am I offering and what kinds of consulting and speaking am I doing and how do I want to do those things and what are the systems I'm setting up to do those things. And this year, for a lot of personal reasons, some of which I've shared publicly over on my blog on Medium, as well as over on my YouTube channel, this year has been really hard. I've gone through a lot of loss this year, and there's been a lot of sort of family stresses and those sorts of things that have resulted in me having to kind of take a step back from my work, but still making it work in my own way. And so I think when you ask that question, Katie, about what does it mean to kind of, you know, make and work on my own terms, it's been a really hard shift for me. I am a type A planner who is an achiever, who likes to get things done. And this year has been teaching me a lot about the importance of stepping back and reprioritizing when life intervenes and says, hey, no, you've got to pay attention to this thing over here. And so working on my own terms has really been a focus on keeping myself balanced and healthy and figuring out how to get through so that I can go on to the next thing in the most productive and positive ways possible. And I can talk some about what that has looked like for me. But yeah, honestly, it's just been a tough year for a lot of reasons. And so working on my own terms means something different to me now. But it also means something more deeply to me now than it ever did before, which is it's an interesting place to be. And I'm excited, about what's next and what's coming down the line for my business and for me. But it's made me think about some things a little differently. So that's where I am. That's where my brain is when you ask about what it means to work on my own terms.
So I'm curious, Sarah, if you can talk a little bit about this idea of intentionally downshifting your business and like, how did you come to that decision to do that? Because I would imagine sometimes people are like forced into that where it's like, I literally can't do this.
Yep.
Other times you might be like, okay, so I see the horizon and I need to not be putting more on my plate. Like I can kind of look ahead strategically and realize this is not going to work. So for you, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how did you kind of decide, at what point in the year were you like, okay, so this isn't happening. Like I need to pull back.
Yeah. I would say for me, it was a combo of both of those things. So, there were certain things that happened throughout the year, where life was basically like plop in my lap. Okay. Here's a thing you have to deal with now. And it was like, okay, so I'm scrambling to kind of figure out my life for the next week, right? What does this need to look like in the next week? But then also knowing that there were things coming down the line that were going to be hard. So to just be open about it, my husband and I lost his father this year to ALS. And so it was a short but very awful, struggle with that disease, and just, you know, watching somebody that you love watch someone they love kind of deteriorate in front of you is a really hard thing. So there was a lot of emotional components to it. There were also a lot of logistical components to it. We were trying to figure out care and also how to get down to see him regularly and all of those kinds of things that you have to do when you're caring for someone and caring for aging parents. So a lot of that was both immediate, urgent, drop everything and come, but it was also a lot of planning things out without really knowing when the end is coming, which is also a terrible thing because you're planning, but you don't know if any of the plans are going to work out. So for me, it was kind of a little bit of both, both and happening. But really, when we kind of had an idea of what the timeline was going to look like with my husband's father's illness, that was really when I made the intentional shift to step back a little bit, because I knew I was going to be needed in many and various ways, both as an emotional support as well as like a logistical and planning support. And so I needed to be able to kind of hand things off and drop them in those times when it became urgent to do so. So there was an amount of planning that went into that kind of intentional step back. The ugly part of the sort of intentional step back are the feelings that come with that, right? As a professional woman in the world, I am trying to build a business, which is not an easy thing, right? It's not an easy thing when you're able to put your whole heart and soul into it. But when your heart and soul are in other places, as they should be, it's hard to build and sustain and continue to grow a business, especially in the ways that I had envisioned it would be by now, right? So there's a lot of comparisons to the life you have versus the one you thought you would have, whether that's personally or professionally. And I think a lot of our listeners can probably resonate with that in one way or another. You have this life that you expect, or these things that you would have expected to have done, or these goals that you wanted to meet. But at some point, sometimes life throws things at you that you have to say, well, that goal is just not possible now, and that's okay. And I think that's the hardest part for somebody like me to get to, is the not giving myself a hard time for that and not kind of beating myself up for not meeting those, frankly, unreasonably high expectations, given everything else that's going on. So that's been a process, but it's been an important one for me at this point in my business, because I think I'm a lot more candid about what I need and where I am. Katie, you and I have had lots of conversations where I've been like, I can't do this today. And you're like, cool, thanks for telling me. Like, thanks for being honest about that. And so I think to those of you out there who are going through something similar in terms of difficulty and not sure what to do, being honest is honestly the best piece of advice I have, because you'll be surprised how much people will step up and understand and just be there for you in ways that you hadn't expected. So thanks, Katie, for being one of those people who has been there for me through all of this.
You're welcome. Well, and this is one of those things that, kind of watching how you've dealt with this over the past year, I mean, I want to be honest and say this is one of the things that scares me the most about not having a full-time job and doing this work,
right?
Is like, you don't have bereavement policies. You don't have, you know, like sick time necessarily, you know, depending on the kind of business you run. But oftentimes when you're kind of a solopreneur and doing this on your own, or you have a very small business like I do, which is me and my partner, what are you doing? You know, like with, right. I mean, and I do feel like one of the benefits of having a full-time job, and I want to be careful about how I say this, but like when you have difficult situations, you can kind of go on autopilot a little bit and you're still going to get a paycheck, and people understand that. It's not, you're not expected to be like stellar, you know, like if people know you're going through a difficult time, they're not going to fire you, you know, like, and they realize that there'll be kind of ups and downs in terms of people's productivity. But when you're on your own and you're trying to build a business, like, you may not feel like going out and getting those new, you know, like marketing yourself and like the level of energy that you might have, you know, like I would imagine that'd be very interesting to kind of think about, what can I put on autopilot at this time? And it would have to do with what's in your pipeline and, you know, like, events that you have already scheduled in terms of speaking and other things. So watching you do this, I mean, it's been a real lesson for me in terms of like, how do you do this with honesty and, you know, asking for what you need. And it's just hard. Like, I mean, that's, I feel like there's just a really difficult thing, because you have to give yourself permission to downshift and to take this time. And I bet that's probably one of the hardest parts.
Yeah, it has been hard. And I'll be honest that like, there have been very specific ways in which it has hurt my business. I had to, you know, last minute kind of back out of a client commitment because I had to travel to where my father-in-law was living because there was an emergency situation and I had to be there. And thankfully that client was very understanding, but I also then had to, you know, I felt like I needed to sort of compensate for that. And so I gave them a big discount on the overall pricing and all of that, and took the workload that I would have done off the, you know, off the invoice and all of that sort of thing. And I don't regret that decision at all. I think that was the right one. But between that and I swear, after every major loss I've had this year, 3 days later, I've had to get up and give a presentation like it. And yeah, for any of you who have had big losses in your life, like, you know, the emotional and energy toll that that takes. And then for somebody like me, who's kind of an introvert and likes living in my office, in my house, it takes a lot of energy when I'm feeling great to get up and give a presentation. And so that has been really, really challenging. And so I've been thinking a lot about how do you set up those systems in the background whereby you can make a different choice. Like, I felt like I've had to go give these talks, but at what point, right? At what point is it okay to say no? At what point do you say, look, I'm sick, or I'm ill, I'm not going to be giving a presentation that's going to be worth your money, right? Like, when do you say that? And how do you say that in a way that doesn't hurt your business long term? And that's a thing I haven't figured out yet, but it's a thing I know I need to after these experiences that I've had. So, you know, figuring out those what if backup plans kind of, you know, strategies that you need to, because sometimes in the moment, you're not able to think strategically, or you're not able to think through a problem in a way that comes up with a productive solution. So it's better to have those other solutions, those kind of opt-out options in your back pocket at all times, especially if you expect something, expect hard times are coming, but sometimes they come and you don't know they're going to. That's also real. So
yeah.
There's been a lot of what it means to work my own way, and working on my own terms this year that, again, is a totally different reflection on, on that question, than I would have had a year ago. So yeah.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, I see a lot about how working on your own terms, I mean, it's so much about confidence in yourself, mm-hmm. and the decisions you're making, but also trust in other people, yeah. that they're going to understand. Yep. Like you said, you know, when you have to pull back from a client and you have to trust that they're going to come back and that, yep. they're going to understand that this is not how you would ideally prefer to work.
Right.
But it is what it is. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess it's interesting because this is something where I've always been surprised by how kind people are these situations, in part because I think my emotional intelligence is so low that I kind of logically respond to people as like, okay, so you can't do this. We'll figure out another situation. Like, it's fine. And kind of intellectually, I understand that I need to be kind and, you know, mm-hmm. graceful or whatever. But when other people respond to me in those situations in such genuine ways, mm-hmm. like, I also lost someone recently and had to take time off work to go to a funeral service. And I came back and someone had given me a card, mm-hmm. that was like, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I was like, that is so nice. Like, it's just like, I mean, yeah. so unexpected. So, you know, I'm just kind of dealing with my stuff. Like, okay, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you know, I go to the thing and I come back and I go back to work and like, just kind of get on with business or whatever. And, but people actually take time to like, make sure you're okay. And yep. so, I mean, I think that there's like the confidence piece, but there's also the trusting other people that they're going to be kind of, they're going to catch you a little bit in these Agreed. Moments.
Agreed. And I can't speak highly enough of like all the people in my life, frankly, but especially friends and family, but also my clients, like the ones that I've had to say, look, this thing just happened and I don't know what kind of state I'm going to be in. So fair warning, I will try to get there. I will try to do this thing, but, or having to step back completely, like they've all been really understanding. And I think that speaks to the fact that we all share at some point in this experience of loss. Like we all go through this at some point. And so, you know, the more you can be gracious with other people and, you know, the more you experience that grace from others, it's just, it's really powerful. And I can't speak highly enough of the people who have showed me kindness in ways that I hadn't expected and in ways that I didn't feel like I deserved. Like it, yeah, it's been a bit of a time, but I've learned a lot about working on my own terms and what that means for me in a very personal way. So, Katie, I know that you've been thinking about this a little bit differently this year. And so I'm curious to hear the response to that question of what does it mean to you to work on your own terms?
I feel like this brings out the rebel nature in me a little bit, which like a year ago, I would not have identified in this way, mm-hmm. but I definitely have gotten like more, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like set in my ways, but it's definitely like take it or leave it.
Yep.
Like, yeah, yep. This is how I do things. If you don't like it, that's okay. Like, yeah, you can find somebody else. And I don't feel like it's a rigidity thing. It's just more of a, this is what I found that works best. And for my own sanity, as I'm trying to juggle full-time work and, you know, this business on the side, this is what I need to do. So I've talked before, I think, about trying to really keep myself from having early morning meetings. That's become a definite part of this for me. Working on my own terms means not taking 6 o'clock a.m. client meetings, and really trying to keep those meetings to my lunch hour or weekends are fine. I actually don't care about taking client meetings on the weekends. It's just that early morning time that I'm really trying to preserve for, you know, like things like working out. But also the other thing I've really realized about doing work on your own terms is it may not be that you're actually doing it on your own terms right now, but that you recognize what it would look like for you to do it on your own terms. And you try to like incrementally move yourself toward that vision. So I was realizing this past week, actually, when I had a travel consulting gig, and I was working with actually two different institutions in the same week. One was on a Monday, one was on a Wednesday, and I had Tuesday off in between. I wasn't able to book anything. And it was in a city that's relatively far away, so it required a couple different travel days. And one of the things that I was thinking about for that trip was how nice it was to have that day in between the two gigs, and that I wasn't like going straight from one to the other. I actually booked myself a half day at a spa the morning of that Tuesday, and I did like massage, facial, pedicure, which
that's awesome.
I haven't done in like God knows how long. But then I had the afternoon where I took a couple of client calls. You know, like I worked a little bit, but I was very relaxed about it. And then I ended up coming back, you know, late Wednesday night, and I went straight back into work on Thursday. And I thought, you know, it would have been really nice if I could have taken Thursday, you know. So there's definitely constraints that I have given like my amount of vacation time that I have to use for this kind of stuff. But I can think about, you know, what ideally would I have done? You know, like if I didn't have to worry about those constraints, what would it really mean to look like doing this on my own terms? And it probably would mean like taking an extra day for travel, not coming in at 1 a.m, you know, like, or if I do come in at 1 a.m, taking the next half day off to, you know, like sleep and do laundry and whatever. So I think that that's the other thing that I think is important to emphasize is like, you don't have to do everything on your own terms right now in this moment. But I do think you can kind of vision for yourself, what is my ideal? How do I get myself close to that ideal in the future? So that's something I've been thinking about a lot. But I also definitely think that doing work on my own terms, I feel like I've really been practicing what I preach in that area this year. Like I've been thinking a lot about how do I want to spend my time? I've been intentionally trying to pull back on travel and speaking engagements. And as much as I enjoy them, it's just very difficult to build into my schedule because I also travel for my day job. And for the last 2 years, I've been traveling at least once a month by plane somewhere. And that just feels like a lot to me. To other people, that may not feel like a lot, but for me, it's a lot. And I'm not someone who really enjoys that travel. And coming back from that travel is very disruptive. So I'm trying to really think carefully about what can I build into my business that allows me to have things like passive income streams, although I put that kind of in air quotes. We all know passive isn't truly passive. But also, how do I build up other things that allow me to have kind of more control over how often I'm traveling? So those are a couple of the different ways that I'm thinking about working on my own terms. And I also feel like I've come to a better, like a healthier place with the balance between my full-time work and this business on the side. Like as the business on the side continues to grow, I get a lot of questions from people about when am I going to quit? my job. And I still am not planning to do that. Like that. So let's be clear. And that may be something for a future episode, like, you know, that, to talk a little bit more about that. I think we covered it in season one, but it might be time to circle back. Just this idea of like, there are so many privileges afforded to me because I have that full-time work that I don't have to worry about benefits. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting paid for my vacation time where I'm also working on my side business. You know, like there are just certain things that I don't have to use my mental energy toward. And so for me right now, working on my own terms means maintaining that full-time job and doing this business on the side. And that's what works for me. Like it's a choice I'm making and that I'm happy with. So that's, you know, the other thing I think about, sometimes working on your own terms means doing stuff that other people don't understand. And that's okay.
I'm over here nodding emphatically.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the other piece is it's like, you know, like when I quit Facebook, how freeing was that? And and I even now I see all these people talking about like Facebook and pixels and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, so glad I don't have to worry about that. Like, it's just not part of my business strategy. And again, that's okay. Like, I'm choosing to do this on my own terms. So it's so much about kind of choices that we're making, but also sometimes I think kind of going against the stream of, or the current of what other people do. But the last thing I'll say about this, and then I'll kind of stop and kind of see wherever you want to go with this, Sarah, is like, I feel like I have all these thoughts just like tumbling out, is I think that part of what draws people to me to work with me is that I do business on my own terms and that people see that level of confidence. And the, again, it's not rigidity. It's just like, this is how I do things. I have systems, I have processes, I have certain amounts of money that, you know, like I recently, I was launching a one of my writing group programs and I had someone write in and say, do you have a discount for a grad student? And I said, you know, I don't, this is one of my highest value programs. So, you know, and actually you're getting a real deal when you come into this program, because it's half the price of my one-on-one coaching. You're getting one of my courses, like the value of this is high. So no, I don't. And they ended up buying it. You know, like they found the money in their budget to do it. So even stuff like that, where it's like, I don't question those things. Like I set the price and it is what it is. And, you know, I think that it does draw people to purchasing services and products from me because they see a level of confidence in terms of how I'm choosing to run the business.
Yeah, there's so much in what you said. I'm like counting over here on my fingers. What are the things I wanted to highlight? The first thing I'll say is, when you were talking about flying all over the country and not coming in at 1 a.m. and those sorts of things, I was thinking, yeah, setting yourself up for success. One of the things my husband and I learned several years ago when we would go on vacations was that we always needed to come back the day before we had to go back to work. Yeah. So you have a full 24 hours to be at home and chill out and do laundry, because otherwise you show up to work and you're just like, I can't, brain is not working. So, yeah, I fully support and understand those decisions, and I make them too. Like, I don't fly connecting flights unless I absolutely have to. Like, it's one of those things where I have the advantage of having enough cash on hand to be able to fly direct if I need to that I don't have to have that extra time in airports, because I hate flying. So that's one of those things that I'm like, I've learned this about myself and these are the choices I'm making. So I recognize that you and I both like have the privilege to be able to do that, right? We have the flexibility to be able to do that, and that's great. But yeah, learning some of those things about what makes you the best you in your work environment is a huge part of the equation. So props to you for that, for figuring out some of those setting yourself up for success types of things. I think there was lots in what you said, especially about the sort of take it or leave it mentality. I think there's an element, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, Katie. I think there's an element of people are attracted to the confidence, but the confidence comes from knowing that it works. And so I'm wondering if you can talk about that sort of tipping point from when you first start trying a thing and you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then finding out that, yes, this does actually work. And now, yeah, this is how I'm doing it. Or I'm going to adjust these three or four things and then this is how I'm doing it. How does that work for you? Or how does that thought process kind of tease itself out?
That's a really good question. I think it's a little bit of a work in progress. Let me use like a very concrete example in responding to that. So one of my newer service packages that I'm offering now are these writing groups, which I just mentioned. And I launched them in the summer of 18, for people who might be listening to this in the future. And I launched it because I'd had some clients kind of inquire about it. I had people really curious about my own writing productivity. And I thought, well, this is a good way for me to explore group coaching. So I actually had like a number of goals. It was responding to client needs. It was allowing me to explore group coaching as a model for what I wanted to do in my business. And also, to be honest, I just love talking about writing and publishing. Like, this is an area that I have a lot of experience in. I mentor a lot of people in it. Like, it's a very comfortable area for me. My first year webinar series was all about writing and publishing. You know, like, it's a very comfortable space for me to inhabit. And so I just put it out there and was like, hey, I'm going to do these writing groups. And I picked a price point and I gave away one of my, that master course on writing and publication that came out of my webinar series. That was part of it. And I just basically designed this package where you get 12 weeks of group coaching meetings. You get 2 private coaching sessions with me that you can schedule whenever you want. And then you get this course basically. And I kind of house it in a course space. We record each session. If you can't make it, you know, you can whatever. And they're small. I mean, I'm capping them now at like 4 people. So it's not like you're not getting attention. I mean, it's very small in that sense. So I did it in the summer and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to continue this. Maybe this is just a summer thing because a lot of people struggle in the summer with this. They don't have kind of the same schedules they have throughout the academic year and they kind of freak out. You know, they have all this time on their hands and they're not going to get anything done. All of a sudden it's August and they've like done nothing. And I know this from working with faculty for years and years and years in a faculty development perspective. So then I had people asking me like, well, are you going to continue this into the fall? And I was like, well, okay, yeah. Like, I had a lot of fun with it over the summer. Like, I really enjoyed it. And I thought, okay, well, let me see how I can do this. And in the summer, I just randomly chose 2 time slots, like, that worked for me. So, like, working on my own terms. But I said, I'll just try to run 2 groups simultaneously. And I ended up having 5 people sign up across those 2 groups, which for the pricing of the program was roughly, I think, like $5,000 or something like that for that to run that. And I'm like, well, that's worth it to me. You know, like, that's a pretty good income for that. So I launched it in the fall thinking, let's see if I can get 5 people, like minimum, you know, like that would be, I don't want to run a group, obviously with just one person, that's just private coaching. So let me see kind of how I can make this work. And I ended up having the same split, basically 5 people. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll continue this into the winter. Like, let's see. So, I mean, I'm not really going to know until I do a full year of this program, you know, like what are the ups and downs of it, you know? And also I feel like the more I run it, the more people understand I'm running it consistently. And so this is something that I've really, I feel like in an unconscious way committed to in my business. I don't ever really just do something once, especially if it's like an ongoing program, unless I like hated it. And thus far, I haven't had anything like that. I haven't had something where I tried it and I was like, oh, this was not fun. I did not enjoy this. Like, I usually have a pretty good sense of like what I'm going to like to do with, you know, products and services. And actually, there was a time actually where I cut back, I downshifted on my website design stuff because my own website design needs for my own products and services were high. And so I was like, okay, I can't work with clients right now because I am my own client when it comes to this. So I downshifted that. But I just recently brought it back. So, I mean, there are ways to kind of shift and move things around. But I feel like part of doing work on your own terms is like, if you like it and you see kind of a possibility there that this could be something that grows over time, do it. I mean, like, keep doing it. And because I honestly think like, and I was talking with my business partner, my life partner about this yesterday, I feel like the summer writing groups are only going to grow in popularity because, you know, like that is the key time when people need something like this. And now that people realize I'm consistently running these groups, they can budget for it. They can plan for it. I can open up waiting lists. Like, so I don't know if that kind of answers all of your question, but I feel like part of it is just like, are you enjoying it? Do you feel like in a kind of rough way it's working? you know, like that it is meeting a need that people have. And the other thing I would say too is, and this has happened to me twice in the past couple of weeks, where I have given people other options of what they could do other than my services or products that were cheaper or like moving them in a different direction. And one person said, like, I'm really kind of surprised that you would give me this other thing that's like not leading me toward you. And I'm like, the goal here is to solve your problem.
Right.
It's not right. to, you know, like, I don't need to have you, you know, I mean, of course I'd love to have you as a client, but like, I don't need that to pay my mortgage. So mm-hmm. it allows me to kind of give you other options and things. So that person ended up working with me. Like she mm-hmm. ended up choosing to coach with me. I had a second person who I offered the writing groups to, but I also offered this other service to that I don't run. Someone else runs it. It's cheaper. She went with the cheaper service.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Like, yeah. I mean, either way, her need is met. So I feel like that's the other piece about confidence is mm-hmm. I'm not like desperately trying to get you on my roster of right. clients. You know, like I really want to just help you solve your problem, whether it's a website design issue or coaching issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that I think also helps.
Yeah.
With this situation too, is you're not coming across as being totally like desperate and
right.
You
right.
can tell. I mean,
yeah, like... you can. Well, and it speaks to your later point about, the sort of going against the current of how other people do things. I think part of the reason that the sort of authentic, like take it or leave it, and not in a, like a snotty way, but in a like, this is what I offer and I want to help you solve your problem. And if I'm not the one to do it, then that's okay. Like, I think people resonate with that because we're so used to being sold things, right? And to have things sort of shoved down your throat and like, this is the only way to get the most followers on Facebook or whatever. I don't know, whatever you're trying to do. But the reality is that there's, in a lot of these areas, there's enough need to go around. And so, you know, I don't always feel like we're competing with each other. And I feel like in a lot of these areas, we don't need to be competing with each other because
we really don't.
That there's plenty of options and everyone's a little different. You know, everybody's going to be drawn to something a little different. And if you're not drawn to the way that I do things, that's fine. There are other people out there doing other really cool stuff in ways and in their own voices that are not mine. And if you resonate with them more, awesome, right? If you're learning from them instead, cool. I hope it's good content and I hope it's high quality and, you know, all of those kinds of things. But your point is well taken that, like, it's not about getting you on my roster. It's not about getting you as a client. It's about what can I help you do? You know, is there something that I can offer that can solve your problem or can make your life better in some way? And if not, and you want to move along, great. Like, I will help you move along. If there's somebody else I can point you right. to, awesome.
Right. Well, and I think part of this too, I'm realizing, I mean, this is going to come across sounding horrible, but as I'm hearing myself say it in my head, I'm like, oh, people are going to take this a weird way. Which means it's good stuff to talk about. Right. So I think that this has a lot to do with having standards, which people might be like, of course it does. But I was thinking about this. So twice in the past couple of weeks, I've had conversations with larger organizations that are thinking about this idea of hiring like a resident coach that, and potentially me to like mm-hmm. coach people within their organization. And I have said in both cases, I don't believe in doing that. I don't believe in just having one option for a coach. Like, a coach is a really personal relationship. You get really vulnerable with them. You need to have more than one option if yep. you're picking a coach. For example, some men might not want to work with a female coach. Some people might not want to work with me for whatever reason. Like, they don't mm-hmm. like my personality or they don't like my style, or, you know, coaches are different in terms of yep. how they do things. And just the fact that I said that, people trusted me more. Because I wasn't like, oh yeah, I want you to send all your people to me and give me all your money. And like, I have a standard of what I think is good coaching, and it's not forcing everybody to work with the same coach. Like, I don't think that's right. And I think that it's just not a good way to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of different ways to have standards in your business. I, yep. you know, like, I have certain standards with my web design, for example, where it's like, part of the reason I charge the money I do is because I don't want to just design a website for you and hand it off to you and have you manage it in a way that it's going to be not managed well, because mm-hmm. I use certain tools on the back end that are difficult for people mm-hmm. to manage if they don't know web design and they don't know how to kind of do website development. We do that for you, but I'm going to charge you for it. Like, if you want the website to look nice and to run well, I'm going to charge you for that. Like, that's a standard of our business. And so I think that there are just certain elements. That's another important thing to think about is like, what are your standards of quality
mm-hmm.
and also like ethical standards of right. like, you don't do it a certain way. You don't cut corners, you know, like, and yeah, people are going to have to pay you for that, but they're also going to trust that you're going to do a good job because you have those certain standards.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to conversations we've had previously on the podcast about asking for what you're worth and having those conversations. And that's really hard. And I think kind of what I'm hearing from both of us, I think, is actually a note of a bit of maturity in our businesses, which is this thing about like, if you can't pay me what I'm worth, because I know I'm worth this, and whether that's because people have paid me that or because I know the work that went into this. And if nobody's going to pay for that, fine, then I need to learn about how to do this better and more, you know, cost effectively for myself. And that's a learning tool for me. But I know the work that went into this. I know the value of the service I'm providing. And if you can't afford that, and if you can't pay for that, that's okay. But it also means that we're not a great fit. And so I think when you sort of make that transition from the early sort of really scrappy trying to get anybody in the door, get your first clients, you know, sometimes you take some bad clients because you have to, right? Just to get the ball rolling. But there does come a point where you can look at it and say, you know, I don't want those bad clients anymore. It goes back to, Katie, what you were saying about kind of really visioning, what do you want for your business and what do you want your life to look like? Do you want to work with clients that aren't a good fit for you? No, because it's not good for you and it's not good for them. So really sort of setting yourself up and knowing what those things are that you're looking for, those boxes you want to check, those standards, is a huge, hugely important part. And I think is a note of both of us kind of coming to a place of maturity in our businesses where we are able to make those really sort of very thoughtful decisions about what are we willing to do and what aren't we willing to do. And mm-hmm. I just want to call that out because in season one, it was a little different. we were talking about it a little differently then.
Well, and I think it's funny because they're thoughtful decisions, but it doesn't mean they're less scary. Because it is a form of niching. It is a form of saying, like, you know, if I meet with someone, because I do a lot of exploratory sessions for coaching with people, and I don't think I'm a fit, I tell them I don't think I'm a fit. Mm-hmm. Like, I say, I don't think I can help you meet your needs. Mm-hmm. Like, let me help you find someone else who can, but I don't do coaching in that way. And actually, like, I had somebody email me, this was probably like 6 months ago, and they were like, I basically need you to be like a tough love, tell me what to do, you know, like whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do that.
That's not coaching, first of all.
Like, coaches don't do that. Like, that's not the purpose of coaching. That's like, you know, hiring a, I don't even know what, like, to force you to do things. But I was like, no, that's not what I do. And yes, I provide a lot of accountability, but you need to be a partner in that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not just like whipping you into shape.
Right.
And they chose not to work with me. And I was like, great. Like, I feel like I dodged a bullet. Like, that would not have been fun to work with a client that's like, tell me what to do. So, I mean, I think that, but I mean, at the same time, and again, we're in very different situations where you have your business as your full-time stuff. I have my business as my side business. This is one of the privileges I have of having a full-time job when I do this, is I can make those decisions without feeling too much pain in terms of my revenue. And even if my revenue were to drop, if I was making a decision that I felt was right, so be it. You know, it would have just been like, okay, fine. Like, I'm going to figure this out in another way. But I do feel a lot of freedom to experiment. I do feel a lot of, and that is definitely something your point, Sarah, is a really good one, which is like, you can have more confidence when things are working.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, like,
it's really
and,
true.
And as your business, I think, gets off the ground and you do see more revenue coming in, I have felt way more confident in launching new programs, I'll be upping my coaching rate soon when I have my certification done with ICF. Like, there's just certain decisions that I feel a lot more confident making as I get more experience, you know, under my belt in certain areas of my business. And here's the thing, people will pay. I mean, like, I don't want to charge exorbitant amounts that are unreasonable, but there are some people who will only take you seriously if you're charging a certain amount. And I look around, you know, other entrepreneurs in this space, and some people are charging like $40 a coaching session, which is fine. Like, when you're just getting started and maybe you're working with a particular audience that you feel like that's all they can afford. But to scale that, like, I mean, it's just impossible. Like, you'd have to be working like 80 hours a week to make any. So that's the other piece, I think, is you have to kind of think about what's working for you right now. But in the future, 2 years from now, are you still going to be charging that? Like, how are you going to incrementally kind of bump that? And what is your strategy, you know, to work with those kinds of numbers?
Right. Right. And also being responsive and aware of the sort of organic growth that happens too. So, you know, Katie, I know you're a lot more, we talked about this before, you're a lot more like thinking into the future 2 to 3 years and kind of have a vision, or at least a kind of general direction you're moving, and ideas for how to get there and metrics and goals and those sorts of things. For me, right now, as I'm working on a couple of newer things that are, I'm not really sure what they're going to look like or where they're going to go or how it's going to look, but that's also how I'm choosing to work. That's sort of my decision about working on my own terms, that in some ways I have to kind of put things out there and see what the response is and feel the energy a little bit and see where the options for growth are, and then kind of continue to go in that direction. So a little bit more kind of going where the energy is, which is, again, a thing we've talked about previously on the podcast. And so it's interesting to think about, like, there are different ways to approach working on your own terms that are different but similar. I mean, that's sort of the theme of our podcast here.
Right.
The different but similar ways that you and I do things. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for kind of the flexibility that you having a full-time job and me having a stable income through my husband's work, that does allow us a little bit more freedom than you first have if you're kind of doing this on your own completely and don't have a safety net and don't have or as much of a safety net. That is a different place. It's a different place to be in. And you know, so I do want to acknowledge that, and I know you do as well, that we are in a different place than that. And it's, frankly, pretty freaking rad to not be in that place anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, the other thing, too, that I think is really important, just timeline-wise, because I really did resonate when you said, you know, like, our businesses are maturing. I mean, I didn't start charging people for anything other than speaking and my books. You know, like, in terms of, like, product creation, like my webinar series and stuff like that, none of that launched until summer of 16.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only been 2 years.
Yeah.
That I've been doing this. I mean, yeah. Like, I was speaking before that, but not really with a strategic mindset of, like, turning it into a business. It was just like, oh, here's some fun extra income that I can buy a Vitamix with. Like,
right.
I mean, it was not, like, you know, really trying to increase. And now I'm actively, like you said, thinking about revenue streams and bumping things up and whatever. So for people who are listening to this, you know, like, I spent the first year of what I consider to be my official business, and that would have been like summer of maybe 15 to 16, or even actually summer of 16 forward, just putting out free content, like podcasting, blogging, getting kind of some foundation for what I was trying to do. Then I realized 2 years later that I was all writing about radical self-trust for 2 years without realizing it, which was helpful. But, you know, like, I mean, that's the thing, that if this is not, you know, a 10-year endeavor, yes, I've been building up skills and abilities and whatever for a long time. But in terms of actual business ownership and like trying to work it forward, it's not been that long. So I think that's important for people to realize, too, is like, I'm really curious what this business is going to look like in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't vision that far ahead. You're right that I look 1 to 3 years ahead all the time. But, you know, 5 to 10 years out, I have no idea. Like, I think it could be some really cool stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I know we've had the conversation a little bit before and probably will again in the future of, like, the whole how do you know that you've made it and are successful, or what does that even mean? And, you know, for me right now, like, so I had a friend ask me recently, like, how would you know that you'd failed, or how would you know that this wasn't what you should be doing, or you know, wanted to go on to something else? And I was like, well, right now, like, I'm living the dream. Like, this is the end game, right? Like, working for myself right now is the end game. That might change. I don't know. But for the moment, you know, I'm not even close to in the place where I was with my old job, where I was just like stuck and miserable and feeling like I just can't be here anymore. You know, there were cool things about that job, but it was not going to fulfill me in the same ways. Whereas building this business, as much as sometimes I'm terrified and, you know, afraid that, like, because I had to take this hiatus and kind of step back intentionally this summer, that, like, that's going to hurt my business. And those things are scary and those are hard to reconcile. And it's hard to kind of pull yourself back up and get going again. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't have it any other way. And like, yeah. that's kind of a great place to be, as much as it is a scary place to be. And as much as, you know, I don't know what the next, like you said, Katie, I don't know what this is going to look like in 5 years, but I hope I'm still having this much fun and still feeling this good about the stuff that I'm making and the content that I'm producing and the ways that I'm helping people. Like, yeah, that's the goal.
When you take a step back, it's like, I just got invited to 2 campuses to talk about things I really care about, and I was able to book a spa day in between. Like, how is that not living the dream? It's ridiculous. I mean, well, this is like when people are like, when are you going to quit your job? I'm like, why would I do that?
Yeah, exactly. This
is great. Like, I love my job. I love my team. I love, you know, like, all that we're producing. We're doing really cool stuff. It's different than what my side business is, but it's still, you know, worth it and interesting and creative. And so, I mean, I think that that's actually a really nice thing for maybe some of our listeners to hear, is like, take a step back and like, look at what you're actually doing and what you have control over and
what you don't. I mean, for me, that's been a huge part of this year, is like, there's so much of what's happened this year to me that I have had no control over, and I like control. And so I have had to learn a lot about not being in control of things. And that's taught me some really valuable lessons, and has brought me some candor that I don't think I had before, to just be like, nope, can't do it. Not going to happen right now. And I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah. Sarah, I continue to learn so much about watching you do work on your own terms. So I'm glad that we continue to talk about it and pull it apart in all these fun ways.
Agreed. I also learned so much from you. I love hearing about all the things that you're up to, and I'm constantly in amazement. Like, how does she do all of this? This is so cool.
Well, when you love your work, it kind of magically happens.
It's so true.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to say before we wrap up this episode?
I don't think so. Just keep doing what you love, and, you know, listen to your gut on what it means to work on your own terms and make things on your own terms, because I think that's kind of the best guide you can follow.
Yeah, and I think when you hit a spot where you're like, this is not how I want to do it, ask yourself why. Like, what was wrong? What didn't feel good? How would you do it differently next time? Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you figure it out. It's like a total constant, like, trial and error.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I want to, like, highlight that, because I feel like so often, you know, people see the end product, right? They see the stuff that you and I put out. And I still have people who are like, how do you do all of that? And I'm just like, if you had any idea the mess that was made to create this thing, like, you would not be saying that. So, yeah, there has been so much trial and error. And I think in all of our stuff that you and I have talked about on the show, Katie, like, it's so much try something, break it, build it again, break it again, have it fail, learn something new, put it back together, and move forward. And eventually you start learning what works for you and what doesn't. And I love that we're in that place where we can talk about, like, yes, you do actually get to the place where you can learn what works for you. So, yeah.
All right. Well, another good conversation. Thank you so much, Sarah. And thanks to our listeners for hanging in there with us as we think about what it means, as we continue to think about what it means to do work on your own terms. Until next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Make Your Way. Show notes and a transcript for this episode can be found at katielinder.work/podcasts. Make Your Way is part of the Radical Self-Trust podcast channel, a collection of content dedicated to helping you seek self-knowledge, nurture your superpowers, playfully experiment, live your core values with intention, practice loving kindness toward yourself and others, and settle into your life's purpose. Learn more about the RST channel at katielinder.work/podcasts. If you found this episode helpful, please also consider rating and/or reviewing the show in iTunes. Thanks for listening.